Hi guys, my name is Lauren and this is Allison,
Hi,
and we are
everyone.
here for our 12th episode of our Because Why podcast, and we are at the Van Buren Center, which is a shelter for women and families here in Columbus, Ohio, in Franklinton. It is run by the YMCA, and we are here to talk to two of our favorite people, some special guests, talking about the shelter. So this is Shamika Smith. She is Executive Director of Shelter Services. I've gotten that wrong a couple times, and she corrects me for the Y. And then Annette Davis, she actually works at our shelter. She is at the front desk, but her story is especially special because at one time she was a guest here. So she's completely turned her life around with the help of the Y and the help of herself. And we are going to get to talk about their stories today. So we are doing this because we are doing Give Her Hope. It is our third annual Give Her Hope campaign. It is kicking off next week. We'll talk more about our opening party that you're all invited to a little bit later. But we are doing this to raise money to be able to give women security deposits, bus passes, a bunch of anything that can really help them kind of get jump started into ending their cycle of homelessness and being able to really start to live their best life and a better life. So we are going to talk about all of those fun things today, and we're so excited to be here, and we thank you guys for sharing your time with us and getting to talk about such an important topic that I don't think people understand.
When
so
when we tell people that the Y is involved in housing and helping those that are experiencing homelessness, a lot of people are shocked to hear that. So this is a super important topic, especially as we're heading into the colder months here. So we're super excited to dive into that and hear all the wonderful things that we're doing here. So I guess let's just kick it off. We'd love to hear about what this center does for the Columbus community. So tell us all about it.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. Again, it's an honor and a privilege to have you. It's an honor and a privilege to talk to our virtual viewers, our online community.
Yes.
So we're honored. Again, as these ladies said, I'm Shamika Smith, the Executive Director of Shelter Services for the YMCA of Central Ohio. And today we're talking about the Van Buren Center. And I guess in just a few words, what we can really say about the Van Buren Center is that it provides hope, it provides help, and it provides healing for individuals who are experiencing homelessness. And on any given night, that can be 750 unique individuals who are all here for a different reason.
Yeah.
And again, it's just such an honor and a privilege to be able to provide emergency support and shelter while someone is experiencing a homeless crisis. So that's what we do in a nutshell. I, too, also get the surprise that the Y does that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we are unique.
We do a lot more than that, too. It's not just our shelter. We have housing all over Central Ohio.
We have lots of different services, like a whole different continuum. But today, you know, it's an honor for us to be able to stand in this space. And a lot of people also don't know is that, you know, the YMCA, we started in
housing.
That's how we started. Yes.
Yes.
So for anybody that doesn't know, the Y started in 1844 in London, and and the purpose was for men that were coming in from the country into the city in London, that they had a safe place. Drugs were big then, drinking was big then. There wasn't really safe space for men to come and stay and feel comfortable. So that's how the Y has started, and it really continued that way here in Columbus since 1855. We used to have a railway Y in the Short North that was right next to Union Station that was made specifically for men that were coming in and out on the railroads to have a safe place. So it's really been a part of our legacy, and a lot of Ys have gotten away from housing, and we are one of the few left that is still very focused on it, and it's not going anywhere. If anything, it's going to just continue to get even
better,
bigger.
Yeah.
I think something that a lot of people also don't know is how much of a crisis homelessness is in Central Ohio.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of us, myself included, live in our suburban bubbles with our blinders on and are just, you know, going on about our days, and we don't realize how much of a crisis this is here in Central Ohio. And it affects young people. It affects old people. It doesn't mean that you're on drugs. It doesn't mean that you are
a bad person.
This can happen to somebody in a month because of something. So can you talk a little bit more, Shamika, about the kind of people that you see come in and out, and just kind of break that stigma of what homelessness means, and maybe give us some stats on how many people
in Central Ohio are homeless or out on the streets.
So I get this question a lot. Like, yeah. People always say their myths about what they believe homelessness is, because sometimes, you know, we're driving to and fro, we see a sign that says, you know, I'm homeless, could use some help. I can tell you that 30% of the individuals who are at the Van Buren Center are actually employed and actually gainfully employed. Part of the crisis that is happening in this community is that there is not affordable housing. Yep. And so someone can be in housing and, you know, have been in housing for 30 plus years and some financial circumstances may change and maybe their check is cut short, or there was a medical issue, or there was, you know, a death in the family, or there was, you know, something that happened.
Yep.
And now I don't have the money to pay for my rent.
Yep.
Or, you know, my property has been owned by one person, and then now my property is owned by someone else, and now they, you know, change the rent exponentially, and that's something that I cannot afford. And so I then, you know, am in a situation where I need to utilize emergency shelter. And again, it's just a privilege for us to be able to help folk during that gap and during that space where they need some help, right?
Yep.
And our mission is around all and everybody. And so regardless of the circumstances that have, you know, brought you into homelessness, we believe it is our priority to help you rapidly resolve this crisis so that you can become stably housed, whether that is with a friend or whether that is with a partner or whether that is with a new community of people.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we do here. Everyone that walks through our doors is, again, treated with dignity, compassion, and respect. And, you know, everyone has the opportunity for case management services and support. So we have lots of different things that happen in the building. We don't do this by ourselves. We have over 80 partners who help us do what we do, whether they're volunteers who volunteer their time, which you can always volunteer.
Yes, we need meals served. So if anybody wants...
It's an amazing experience.
It is.
I was lucky enough to be able to do it a couple of years ago, and it was so cool.
Yes. So whether it's volunteer, whether it's we have individuals who come in to provide medical services and supports, counseling services and supports, Legal Aid Society comes in, because our community also has one of the highest eviction rates. Mm-hmm. And so Legal Aid comes in to help with that. Ohio Department of Job and Family Services comes in to help connect with resources and services and supports. And just, we've got a lot of partners, too many to name.
Yes.
We have.
It takes a village. This is a village.
It takes a village. We have buses that come by that provide, you know, mammograms and services for children. Nationwide Children's Hospital comes out. So, we just have so many partners, so many people who help us do what we do. And we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of others, which is, you know, part of our kickoff next week for, you know, Give Her Hope. Like, we want the community to be able to be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, last year we were able to support around 65 women through this financial campaign.
Awesome. Yes.
We were able to support them through, you know, rental assistance, furniture assistance. We were able to pay for, you know, gas to get to, you know, another city and state. We were able to buy some appliances. Like, this money allows us to do so many things, and 100% of the funds raised will go towards, you know, those who need help, and that's everyone who walks through our doors. Our goal this year is to raise $80,000.
Yes. So we could do it. We could do it.
To do that.
Yes.
We need everyone's help to do that.
I remember last year one of the stories that was shared was a young mom who had been living with a partner with the grandparents, and they had gotten in some sort of fight. The partner ended up, I think, in jail. Mm-hmm. And so then she was, and the family was like, bye. We can't have you. So then she's out on her own. And they asked all the, you know, this group of women, like, what do you need in order to not be stuck in this cycle of homelessness? And all she needed was her birth certificate.
Yes. Wow.
But it was in Florida, and she had to pay, I think it was like $35 to get this birth certificate, and she didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she needed in order to be able to give it to a landlord, in order to be able to start finding a place. That's all she needed. And we want to be able to provide that, whether it's as simple as $35 or if it's something a lot more like appliances or like rent. And we've seen some of these women go on and be able to go to college and be able to really, really turn their lives around. And I think the other thing that we don't talk about a lot is how many children actually stay here at the shelter.
Yes.
So of that people that stay here at night, how many of those are kids?
So I would say on any given night, half of those that we see are children. And so You know, there was a time where we had 300 kids in the building.
And they have to go to school. They go to school from the shelter.
They go to school from the shelter.
Come home.
They come
home. This is their reality.
This is their reality, right? Kids don't ask for this.
Right.
Kids don't always understand this. And so we try to make this as normal for kids as possible. Like, we have something coming up in October around harvest and Halloween. So we've got our own.
Yeah. You guys do a back to school day. They get haircuts. They get shoes. So they can go to school and feel really confident.
Love what you guys did for the holidays.
Yes.
Talk about what you do during that time.
So for the holiday season, we transform some space into the workshop. We understand that everyone doesn't celebrate Christmas, right? But every kid wants a gift.
Yeah. Yes. So, regardless, they still want a gift. Yes.
Kids deserve a sense of normalcy and to celebrate their respective holidays.
Yeah. So last year, our goal was to give every child in shelter 3 gifts at that time. So we had 300 kids in shelter during the holiday season. So we start around the beginning of December, and our goal was to give every kid 3 gifts, you know, let their parents pick the gifts out, let their parents wrap the gifts, let their parents be a part of that process. And we were able to actually give every kid around 8 gifts.
Oh, that's so awesome. So we'll be doing that again this year, right?
Yes. We'll be doing that again. So stay tuned. We'll get you that information.
Yes. We'll come back. We'll come back in December.
Santa definitely stops by the VFW
Center. Yes. Santa and Mrs. Claus. They both come by.
Yes.
And they take pictures. They do cookies. They do a sleigh ride, which oftentimes is a convertible car.
Ooh.
From one of our biggest partners is Performance Auto Group, and so they bring
fancy
car out. And so again, we're just
what
so
a
grateful.
Special yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's a really cool time. I think when people come into the building, people have a very different experience from when they leave. I think sometimes assume shelter is a drab place. That shelter is a sort of dark and dreary place. But then once folk experience shelter in a volunteer capacity, you realize that you're giving someone hope.
Yeah.
Every time you walk through these doors, every time you choose to serve, whether it's as a staff person or whether it's as a volunteer, you're giving someone hope that this circumstance doesn't have to be a part of your whole entire story.
Yes.
This is just a chapter of your life.
Yes. Yep. And this can be a launch pad for the best part of your story. I mean, this can be where, you know, the best part of your life or bettering your life begins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It doesn't have to be a sad place where you're kind of like stuck in this cycle. Like we have the ability to help if you let us, if you're willing to take
Annette,
the help.
Tell us about that.
So that leads us to our girl Annette here. Yes.
Yeah.
So Annette, you now work for us here at the Y. You kind of come full circle.
Yes.
You're like giving back, but tell us, if you're okay with it, about how you ended up here as a guest at Van Buren and when this happened.
2014. I was a cocaine addict, drug and alcohol addict. I was in inpatient rehab for 6 months. Got out. I was homeless. I lost everything. Heard about the shelter, but Van Buren was in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up at Rebecca's. And then I got transferred here when it opened. So I was one of the first guests.
You were the
first
guest.
You came to the building.
Yes.
So I'll have to stop saying that about Clarence. I can now say that about
you. You came with the building. But can we talk first, too? So you say, like you said, you know, I was a cocaine and drug addict. But that's not how you started. Like, how does that, I think people just think like, oh, you're a drug addict and you're homeless and that's it.
It's so much
You're a person
that.
And it started somehow. What happened, or how did you get to that place where you ended up having to go to rehab?
Bills, stress. Like y'all spoke earlier, landlord, they can raise the rent how they want to, and not enough income coming in.
And how do you deal with that? And it's like, I don't know how, and it's,
It's like I did every avenue I had, custody of my grandbaby, and I was just overwhelmed. I'm like, it was either that or take my life, and that wasn't an option.
Yeah. So that was like your way of escaping, and then it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed, and then you ended up
here.
And so we're speaking about recovery. How long have you been in recovery?
I've been in recovery since January
27, 2014. Woo! So that'll be almost 6 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
That's awesome. So you end up here. Talk about what this place did for you, or the services and programs, and how that kind of started to change your life and really flip it around.
Okay. Well, when I came, I was nervous because I didn't know what to expect. So two of the workers are still here. Everybody that moved on to better positions and just on. And Angela, she was very great. She walked me through the process, and I got, it was the navigator at the time. Her name was Allie. I never forget her. And, you know, you got to get find jobs so you can have income to live for housing. So I worked midship, so it was hard for us to meet. So we wrote notes, passed notes and stuff like that. And she would give me leads to go check, and I followed them, and one came through. And she called me, and the landlord called me, so they accepted me. And I was just happy. And I can still use these services to this day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the staff, I mean, they helped me no matter, even when I left, I still would come up here, talk to them. They never turned their back on me. Yeah. I can call, leave a message, they return my call.
Yeah.
So it's welcoming and still welcoming.
Yeah.
You know.
And now you're here. What the Y tends to do, which is once you're part of the Y, you never really leave the Y all the way.
You're a lifer.
And yes, you are a lifer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Started what? In Akron at the front desk. Yeah.
So 12 years later, it sucks you in.
It really does.
So yes, we mean that when we say.
So now you're back. But
So when did you decide, like, you know what, this is the place that I want to work?
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen?
I was online, and I seen Indeed, and I seen Van Buren, and I said, I'm going to put my application in. So I did, and I called Jeff Hogan. He's like, I don't remember you. I said, well, I'm going to come up there so you can remember.
You're going to remember me now after this.
So God used him to open the door to get me, and I started in facilities. Then I went to Child Watch, and then I met Shamika.
Yay! Shamika.
So
how long have you been here for, then?
I've been here 4.5 years.
Wow, that's so
May
30th. Awesome. That is so awesome.
Shamika been
whatever
my,
your name is.
Shamika, she really been my support system. Shamika really, I mean, I can go to her about any and everything.
Yeah.
Text day or night.
Yeah.
She really.
I feel like she's like that with everybody.
She
like
is.
Including our guests.
It's an open door
yes.
with everybody.
Yes.
With everybody.
And I feel like, and obviously I've never had to experience this, but I would assume as someone that is homeless or is struggling with that, I would think there's probably like some shame and some maybe embarrassment and whatnot.
Yeah.
So a lot of people stay homeless because they
yes.
don't, they're scared to come in here. They're scared to ask for help. They're scared of people looking at them some type of way or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're here for. We're
no,
not
we're
here
not.
To judge.
No.
We're not here to tell you what you should have done better, could have done
right.
better,
would
have done
better.
Anybody.
Yeah. Anybody. Because don't
any
nobody
time.
Wake up and
yeah.
say, oh, I'm going to be homeless today.
Yeah.
It just don't happen
well,
like
could
that.
Be, at any point, you could be one crisis away
yes.
from
yes.
being in a situation
yes.
like this.
We
and
just
we,
talked about this. I had a medical bill that
yes.
I'm like, if I didn't have the help
health
of my family
yeah.
and insurance, like, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills this month. And what would happen with that? I mean, and I am, like you said, like gainfully employed. I have
yes.
a very nice life.
Yes.
And I, like, one thing,
crisis,
one
yeah.
thing.
I mean, we have had, you know, professionals who have worked, I mean, who have, sorry, not to say worked here, who have stayed here
mm-hmm.
and have maintained their professional jobs.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, hidden from, you know, what's happening on the outside world about what is really happening
yeah.
in their world about mm-hmm. them staying at the Van Buren Center.
Yeah.
We have, again, I consider it a privilege to serve in this capacity because we never know what angels we're entertaining.
Yeah.
And this could be my story, like, if it were not for some people who decided to step in. You know,
yeah.
when we moved to Ohio, we were technically homeless. When me and my mother moved to Ohio, we were technically homeless. My grandmother gave her an ultimatum that she had to leave where she was. Because what was going to end up happening to her was going to be death. And my grandmother could not sit around and
watch
that happen.
Yep.
So we moved to Columbus and literally lived on my uncle's couch. So in some communities, like, that is homeless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
had your uncle said, I can't help you guys anymore
yeah.
then you really would have been.
And there was a point
homeless.
Where he did say that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to figure out, you know, as he was talking to my mom. You have to figure this out for you and your daughter. And so, you know, for me, all the accolades in the world that I could ever receive, I just want people to feel like they have had a human experience
mm-hmm.
when they walk through these doors.
Yeah. Because we are all people.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Yes.
And what happens to you does not have to define you. It's a part of your
yes.
story, like
yes.
you said earlier. It's not
yes.
your whole story.
It's not your whole story.
Yeah.
I think if we can... And again, we're all human, right? So we all mess up. So whether we're the staff or whether we're someone receiving or accessing the services, it's not always easy to walk through those doors and ask for help.
Yes.
Right. I can tell you that.
That's got to be the hardest part.
Yeah, it's not always scariest. Easy. Scariest. Like you said, you were so scared. Yes.
The scariest. Scary.
It's not easy to tell someone your story. It's not.
Yeah.
You have to tell someone that you're here because of a situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The vulnerability that comes along with
and
that has got to be really hard. So yeah. You're trusting. Things. There's a lot of trust involved.
You have to tell me the intimate parts of your life.
Yes.
And the intimate parts of your life could be that you are fleeing a relationship that has become violent.
Yeah.
And that you have been raped numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. And now you have been unsafe where you live.
Yeah.
And this is the place where you find safety.
Yeah.
And you have to tell somebody that.
Yeah.
So we have to treat our environment, we have to treat our spaces, we have to treat every interaction as if somebody is trusting me with the best parts of them at the worst part of their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a huge responsibility.
It's a huge responsibility.
And privilege, like you said, that we're able to provide that to someone.
Yes. Can we talk about how so if there's someone that needs, maybe somebody that's watching or somebody that knows somebody that's watching that needs these services and is too afraid to reach out, how does somebody get into the shelter? How does that happen? And then what does a day in the life of the shelter actually look like for a guest?
So I'll talk about how you get in the shelter and then I'll let you talk about what
Perfect.
So in our community in Central Ohio, we have what is considered central point of access. And so someone simply has to call a 10-digit number.
What is that number, Shamika? Do you know it?
It is 614-274-7000.
Okay.
And so you call that number and you, answer a few questions. You know, the hotline is designed to help you figure out alternatives, right? Shelter should be your last option. And so sometimes in that conversation, it's like, hey, is there someone you may be able to go stay with while you're waiting on A, B, C, D, E, F, and G? And sometimes the need is I need connected to another resource. And so, you know, that line's able to help you do that. And then from there, a reservation is made for you in shelter at one of seven shelters. So whether you're a female, a male, a family. And I just want to say for our viewers, like, even though we serve, you know, even though we're a women's shelter and a family shelter, we actually serve individuals based on the gender that they identify.
Mm. Yes. That's awesome. Very important. Yeah.
So that's what we do.
And because we welcome all. We mean that when we say that. We
mean that community.
The trans community experiences homelessness a lot more, especially young folks that their parents maybe have not accepted. And we see a lot of that.
So you call, you say what's going on. They tell you where to be and what time to be there. And then you show up at our doors and we're welcoming you regardless.
Yep.
Of what has happened once you've been on the outside of these.
Like, stores. You're safe here you're now safe with here. Us.
Doesn't matter where you came from,
doesn't
what
matter.
You're going through.
Doesn't matter.
Come
doesn't
here,
matter.
Be safe, get
come
off
here,
the streets.
Yeah. Be safe, get off the streets.
And we'll do whatever we can help you.
Yeah, we'll do whatever we can. And then so then.
So what actually happens day to day in terms of, because they can't really, like, we kind of push them out of the nest and say, let's go get jobs or, like, let's help. With that kind of stuff, like
cut on at like 5:45, 5:45 to 6. Get up, you know, like a regular day. Get up, freshen up, get dressed. Go down to breakfast. You and your children eat breakfast. Get them ready for school, stuff like that. And if you have appointments with your case managers, meet with them. And after that, it's like a regular day. If I'm already employed, then I'll go out and look. I'll go to the library. Ride around or get online, look for housing. So I go try to meet with landlords and stuff like that. Or if I don't have a job, I do that as well. Look for employment and housing. Mm-hmm. And then come back. They have, like Shamika mentioned, they have legal aid come here. We have Urban League come here. We have different programs that come here throughout the day at certain days of the week, you know, in-house. Mm-hmm. So if I need, like, a class on eviction prevention. Urban Leagues come and does that, get a certificate and stuff like that. Stuff that I need to help build up my resume, build me up. So when I do meet a landlord,
I feel confident. Yep.
This is what I completed. This is what I did. And my case manager, that's where he or she step in. And they're like my mouthpiece, my guardian angel. Like, okay, well, this is what she's done, and this is what we can do, and this is what.
Yeah. They advocate for you.
Exactly.
They get to, yeah. Yeah.
So that's every
and then
day.
Dinner, and then you
and
get
then
to
dinner,
come
then
back.
I get rest, and we have homework help for the kids coming.
That's
in.
Awesome.
And, you know, on the weekends, they have puppet shows and, you know, different agencies outside come get the families and the single women.
Yeah.
So the kids have stuff to do on the weekends and stuff like that.
And, well, there's a beautiful playground here, and places that they can play.
I will say there's lots to do, and there's lots to keep you busy. Yeah. There's lots to, you know, re-engage you. There's lots of opportunities to help you dialogue so that once you leave this place, this nest, you are able to then become your best advocate. Yep. You know?
That's when you got your swag on.
Yes.
When you feel good.
Yes. You shimmy up on
and that happens.
But that's,
yes, it
but
does.
That, I mean, I feel like that means more than anything.
Yes.
Having the confidence and saying, like, I can go do this. Yes. I can go find a job. I can go find housing. I can keep my housing. Yeah. I mean, that confidence that gets instilled here.
Yeah.
And with the skills and education and everything to back it up, I mean, I think that's priceless.
It is. Yep.
Especially
in the people. And you know that if you ever do fall again, I mean, we do see people that come back. Mm-hmm. But come back. Yeah. We're here. We welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, go through it all again.
And the main thing is, the whole good feeling of it all is I'm safe.
Yes.
I'm safe while I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Because women are some of the most vulnerable in our community when they're experiencing a situation.
Yes. Like this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I want to talk about, too, while we're starting to get into cold season, even though I know the overflow happens all the time, we do, how many people are capacity-wise can we have in the shelter before overflow?
So before overflow, that number fluctuates. Based because family size, you know, a family could be a family of two or it could be a family of 12. Yep. And so, you know, safely, it's always around like 700 to 750, even outside of overflow.
Okay.
And then when overflow happens, we expand our capacity to around 200 men and, you know, upwards to an additional, you know, 50 to 75 women.
Yeah.
Between the hours of 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. during the coldest
month. What is overflow? Can you share that?
So overflow. So in our community, again, in our homeless crisis response community, we, during the coldest month of the year, we've made a commitment to the community that anyone who wants to come in from the outdoors can do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, each shelter fluctuates capacity during that time. And because, again, we're privileged to be the largest shelter in this community and in this state.
Wow, we're in the state. I didn't know that.
See? Yes.
Amazing.
Wow.
We fluctuate just a bit more, and so we go up to around 200 men a night because we don't shelter single men outside of overflow season.
Right.
And so that's typically during the coldest times of the year when the weather gets below 32 degrees.
Okay.
And so we do that from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Anyone who wants to come in from outside or you know anyone who is saying that they have no safe place to be can come in.
Yep.
During that time.
And I think, though, too, just at least this is what I've heard, that it's also, don't get it twisted, though, that in the summer that means there's less homelessness. That just means there's more people that are willing to sleep outside.
Yes.
And actually, that's when people are more apt, like, oh, you can get off the couch now. Like, it's warm. You can, you
for
can figure it out.
Yes, for us, in the summertime, we have the increase of families.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So for us, you know, families increase right after school is out.
When school's over.
And I will say, for the last 2 years, we have been in family overflow. So we have actually had more than 64 families consistently for the last 2 years.
Wow.
Well, what I think is so special and so cool is the commitment that we've made to provide a sense of normalcy for those staying here, especially for the kids.
The kids,
that we do around Christmas time and the little things, activities that we do on the
before
weekends.
School.
So that
and
these kids, yes, they have to go to school and deal with being at school and then coming back here, you know, the fact that we're still trying to provide them a normal life, even though things may not be normal, I think is, like, amazing. And I love the commitment that we've made to that.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we've had, even last year, we had a high school senior who needed a brown dress.
Mm.
So we had staff persons, you know, going through their belongings looking for a brown dress so that she could go to prom. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a young man go homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mom asked, like, what am I going to do about, you know, him being able to go, and I was like, you tell me what you need, and I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
He's going to go to homecoming. That's an experience that you cannot get back.
Yeah. We say this all the time, but the shelter staff are the unsung
for
heroes
sure.
of
Absolutely.
The Y. I mean, the things,
you
know, we've come times, and I came to volunteer. We did Healthy Kids Day here 1 year, and this can be really heavy.
Yes.
This is, you know, you're helping people in a time where they might be at their lowest point, and you are trying to lift them up. Yes,
yeah.
And it can be really heavy, especially that with, you know, these kids. But then there's, like, this amazing sense of hope and there happiness is, really and is. Brightness yeah. that's there here really too. Is. That it you just come away from here and you're humbled and inspired, and you have this perspective that, you know, it puts like all the little things that are going on in your day that might be annoying you, and you're like, okay, none of that is important. I've got yes. And it's just such a cool place here. And if anybody gets the opportunity to come and volunteer, which there's always opportunities to volunteer, please come. It'll change your life. And the fact that you guys come with such compassion and consider this such a privilege shows. Mm-hmm. And I think that our guests are better for it, for you guys. And you can probably speak to that more than anybody because you've been on both sides of it. Al?
Okay.
You want to ask our favorite question?
We ask everyone on the podcast, and I'm sure our viewers and listeners know.
They're like, God, you have to ask this again.
Ask the question for us.
I'm nervous. Just a disclaimer. Nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I don't know what these two are.
Okay, so if not for the Van Buren Center, Blake, finish the sentence.
If not for the Van Buren Center, I wouldn't be sitting here right now, employed and stably housed for 5 years. I've been stably housed for 5 years since I left this program.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's clap it up for you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow. I think
it's a big question.
It's hard to sum it up. It is.
And you can make it as long or short as you want.
People often ask me what I do, and so I share the work that I do. I don't think it's by osmosis that I do what I do. People always ask me, well, how many kids do you have? I'm like, I have one kid, but then I have 750 other kids.
Plus the staff, right.
But honestly, like, if not for the Van Buren Center, I don't think I would be living my purpose. Mm. And that in and of itself is an honor. And a privilege, because every day we walk through those doors, regardless of what is happening in our lives, we get to be a light for someone who has been looked over, looked around, mistreated,
discarded by society,
hurt.
Don't cry, gosh.
This is the biggest thing I have yet to do in my life, other than being someone else's mother. And this is also even sometimes the hardest thing I've done in my life, but it is also the best thing I have done in my life. So if not for this place, I wouldn't be living my purpose. And I get to serve here with wonderful people. Whether in marketing, whether in, you know, human resources, whether in accounting, whether in, you know, director's cabinet. Like, I get to serve with people who decided this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to do it.
We have a lot of people with servants' hearts.
This
here,
is how I'm
going to
do it.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it unapologetically.
Yep.
And that, it's an honor. Absolutely. So if not for the Van Buren Center, I would not be living my purpose.
I don't think you can sum it up. That was pretty freaking good. Well, for those of you listening, we're all sobbing over here. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys can see the tears on Facebook Live, but we're all crying. It's okay. We're not crying.
Crying. I don't want to cry people.
It's like, the best kind of tear.
It's happy tears.
I mean, the work that we do, the work that our staff does, and again, this is not about me. Like, I am only able to stand because of the shoulders and the folk I stand with.
Yeah.
These staff, you know, get sometimes treated a certain kind of way, and not always the best way, right? And are sometimes the front line for all complaints, and are sometimes the gatekeeper to all that stuff. And yet they still decide, you know what, tomorrow I'm
show
coming
up.
Back.
Yep.
Tomorrow I'm coming back.
Unsung
today
heroes.
I'm coming
on
back.
I'm the Y.
They are equally responsible for me, just like I am equally responsible for them. And we do this together. Like, this is family. And so the things we do together, it's family. I spend more time with, you know.
Yes, than you do with your actual family.
Family. So, I mean, this is family. And I want us to be a place where our staff feel safe, you know, where our staff feel like if they have something happening, that they can find refuge and hope here. If they need it, and I don't. I mean, I
I don't know where we would be without it.
Yeah.
Well, this is special. This is special.
It's changed lots of lives in more ways than one. Okay. Not just the guests that are here, but I think anybody that comes to this place, their lives are changed, even if it's just for a small time. But so, on that note, we've got our Give Her Hope kickoff.
Yes.
Celebration.
Yes, it is a celebration.
And this is something that's open to the public. So we would love to invite you guys to come and join us.
Please come.
Yes. It's going to be at Strongwater.
Yes.
A week from today, from
5 p.m.
to 7:30. I should really let Shamika tell you.
Let me do this. Give Her Hope campaign kickoff event will be Thursday, September the 24th at Strongwater.
October 24th.
Oh my goodness. Sorry, we didn't practice and I did not read the notes that were given to me yesterday.
She did not. I emailed them yesterday.
October 24th. Please come out. Come out. Celebrate with us. There's going to be some amazing things that happen. We have some wonderful businesses that have given out raffle prizes. We've got some Columbus Blue Jackets things for silent auction. So please come out. We got hors d'oeuvres. We have, you know, a wonderful time of just celebration. Yep. We have
guest speakers.
We have two former guests who are now stably housed, and a special surprise for one of them. So I want you to come out, be a part of that. We don't want you to see it on Facebook Live. We want you to be in the building.
Yes.
So we want you to pay the $35 for the ticket.
Yep.
Everything we raise on that evening goes to help the women and children and families that we serve. Yep. So everything we raise goes towards that. 100% of the proceeds goes towards that. We need you there.
Yep.
We need you to buy a
$35 ticket. You'll see all of us there. We're excited.
Yep. Which is where the shelter is. I think that's really cool that we're supporting our local business.
And I will say it's important to note Strongwater is really partnering with us on this event. Yeah. If anyone has ever had anything there, they just know how beautiful that space is. They are partnering with us in this event, and they also are doing a drink for a cause for us. So just go online, get your ticket, or not, come in person, get your ticket. We will be there to accept all of that. You can find out more stuff. Someone's probably going to put something on the bottom of the screen right now.
So, it's ymcacolumbus.org/giveherhope19. So ymcacolumbus.org/giveherhope19.
You can buy your tickets, donate if you're unable to make it to the
And if you can't do any of that, come volunteer your time.
Yes.
There's come serve a meal, read a book.
Hang out with the kids here. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. You will definitely be helping people in need in the Columbus.
Yeah. You are changing lives and your life will be changed too.
Absolutely.
At the same time. So we appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to us and hear Annette's story, Shamika's story,
the shelter's
story.
Thank you.
We hope to see you next week.
See you soon. Give Her Hope.
Give Her Hope.